Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Appreciate you tuning in today. Normally I put out the Tuesday episodes in the afternoon, like the early afternoon, but with the trade deadline happening today, I figured it made a lot more sense. Wait a few hours and then I can give you my thoughts on all the deals that went down. And you know me, we're going to try to do this as clear and as straightforward as possible. So let's go over the 10 trades that happened today. Some a little more fantasy relevant than others, but we'll start with the Chase Claypool trade. He goes to the Bears in exchange for a second round pick. And this makes a ton of sense for both sides. The Bears didn't do much to help Justin Fields in the offseason. We talked about that basically the entire offseason. Why weren't they getting him weapons? He has still found a way to develop, and he's really coming into his own right now. So they go out, you get him another pass-catching weapon. And I'm not as convinced as some people that Claypool is going to turn into a world beater. I feel like some people are going crazy about this deal. Yes, Claypool had some big blow-up games in Pittsburgh. He's got that really enticing size and athleticism. He can be a good receiver, but I don't see him turning into a superstar in Chicago. He's just a really significant upgrade on the likes of Equanimeous St. Brown and N'Keal Harry and Dante Pettis and the other subpar options that they've been running out there on their depth chart behind Darnell Mooney. So he will give them a legit threat across from Mooney, but the Bears are still tied for last in pass attempts on the season. So Claypool, he's going to have to make the most of the targets that he gets, which will turn him into a really boom or bust wide receiver four flex option once he gets up to speed. And that's really what he's been in Pittsburgh, unfortunately. So I don't see that much movement here. Yes, it opens the door that he could potentially turn into their number one and maybe he blows up for fantasy that way. But I don't really see that happening. I'm not projecting that to be the case here. So it makes this a real great move for the Bears. Don't get me wrong. It's just one that I don't find that exciting for fantasy. I talked about Justin Fields playing at a QB1 fantasy level right now. I talked about that a lot on Monday's show. This move is going to help that continue, and he should just destroy that upcoming schedule. The Dolphins, the Lions, the Falcons. Maybe we see Chicago pass a little more with Claypool around, but either way, Fields is a top 12 fantasy option right now. Darnell Mooney's value, it doesn't change that much either. He's a wide receiver 3 flex option. In fact, I think that Claypool showing up here, it could actually help someone like Mooney because it'll give defenses more to think about than just Mooney and Cole Kmet in the passing game, which defenses have been able to key on those guys. So Mooney's a wide receiver 3 flex. Claypool, wide receiver 4 flex once he gets up to speed, and we can forget about the other receivers in Chicago for fantasy. Not even worth throwing darts at them. As far as Kmet goes, he's still a fringe low-end tight end too, so you don't want to be starting him. That was the case before this deal. It's definitely the case now. There's got to be better options than Cole Kmet in your league. On the Steelers side, Claypool was seeing a decent amount of targets this year, actually, at least 6 targets in all but one game. And more recently, in the last month, he had a 9-target game, he had an 8-target game, he had a 7-target game, and they really don't have a replacement for him at the number 3 receiver spot. Miles Boykin probably is the favorite to take over that role, but he's definitely not an impact guy. He's not going to earn a lot of targets there. So this is good news for the fantasy values of Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. They're still in that wide receiver 3 range for fantasy, but I would expect some more big games from them, especially with the matchups getting better moving forward. Kenny Pickett, he had to go through that really tough gauntlet once he got the starting role. You had the Bills and the Bucks and the Dolphins and the Eagles. It won't be nearly as tough the rest of the way. So Johnson and Pickens, they get a boost. And tight end Pat Freiermuth, he's now going to be the de facto number 3 receiver. And maybe you could argue that he was already filling that role, but he's been doing really well this year, just not a lot of touchdowns, because he has at least 40 yards in 5 of his 7 appearances. And that's saying something considering how kind of inconsistent that Steelers passing attack has been. So Freiermuth, he's going to be a strong mid-range tight end 1 for fantasy, maybe even more now that Claypool's gone. He won't challenge the elite guys. I don't want to suggest that. He's not going to challenge the elite guys at his position, but he will fight for a spot right behind them. So Freiermuth, a really nice trade target if you can go get him right now. And then for Kenny Pickett, he really isn't somebody that you need to be considering outside of 2 quarterback or super flex leagues. I don't think this helps him, but it might end up seeming like it does just because the schedule lightens up at the exact time that Claypool is leaving. So people might think that all of a sudden it's addition by subtraction, but it's really the schedule getting easier there for him. The next deal we got to talk about here, TJ Hawkinson going from one NFC North team to another. The Lions sending their former first round pick to the Vikings, along with a 2023 fourth and a conditional 2024 fourth in exchange for a 2023 second and a 2024 third. And in Minnesota, they were in the market for a tight end because Irv Smith, he's headed to IR. He's going to be out for a while, 8 to 10 weeks, they're saying. So the Vikings are 6-1. They want to keep that going. Hockenson, a really nice piece for them to add, and an upgrade on Smith, who Smith just never really stayed healthy long enough to make good on the hopes that they had for him. And Hockenson, he's had some injury issues himself, but he has showed a lot more in the pros than Smith has. And it might take a week or two here for him to get acclimated to the new offense. But once Hockenson's up to speed, he's going to remain in the tight end one range for fantasy. Might just drop a couple spots here, but we'll see how the tight end position shakes out, because after the first 7 or 8 tight ends, you get to guys like Taysom Hill, and a healthy Hockenson in Minnesota's offense, he should be more consistent for fantasy than a boomer bust guy like Hill. So Hockenson, a low end tight end one with the upside to potentially get back into that mid tight end one range for fantasy. I'm not overly excited about him. I'm just saying it's not a huge drop off for his fantasy value either. And it doesn't change much elsewhere in that Vikings offense. He just gives them an uptick from what they were getting from Smith before. So this helps Kirk Cousins a little bit. He's a fringe quarterback one. Adam Thielen, he's going to remain a wide receiver three flex. And KJ Osborne, their third receiver, he's still going to need a Thielen injury in order to have any real fantasy value. For the Lions, jokes aside, Amon-Ra St. Brown does get a little bump from this. And the rest of the receiving core, it's really going to come down to health for them. Josh Reynolds, he's been banged up lately. DJ Chark, he's on IR. And the rookie Jameson Williams, he might not be back until December. We'll see. He's trying to come back from that ACL tear earlier this year. So Reynolds could see a boost. He could get up into that wide receiver four flex territory if he's healthy enough for the next stretch. At tight end, Brock Wright and the fifth rounder James Mitchell, they'll split the duties there. Neither's overly exciting for fantasy, but the rookie Mitchell is going to get a good look according to The Athletic's Colton Pouncey. So I'm ranking Mitchell as a fringe tight end two, high end tight end three for fantasy this week. Not somebody that you're really thinking about in normal leagues, though. Just someone that in deeper formats, in tight end premium, definitely in dynasty, Mitchell's worth an add there. Hockenson leaving, also low-key a good thing for DeAndre Swift, because there's a correlation between running back targets and tight end targets. So not having a top-notch tight end like Hockenson around, that could lead to more for Swift, but we need to see Swift get back to full health first, because for now, he's just in the RB2 ranks, but the RB1 upside is still there if he gets back to 100% like we saw him earlier in the season. Now, in the long run, the biggest trade that actually happened today, it might be this next one here. Calvin Ridley getting shipped off by the Falcons, getting sent to the Jaguars for 2 conditional draft picks. And I'm not going to go over all the conditions. There's a bunch of them. We don't need to figure that out right now. It has no impact on fantasy, but this is a great move for Jacksonville. They get a receiver who already has a 90 catch, 1,374 yard, 9 touchdown season on his resume. That was just back in 2020, not that long ago, but it's being overshadowed by the fact that he's on this indefinite suspension for gambling. We also do have to make sure that he's healthy and that he's in shape. It's never a sure thing, right? When you have a player who's going to be away from a team, away from the league for so long, that they're going to stay dedicated, that they're going to be in shape, that they're going to be 100%. But I would expect that Ridley is going to be back on an NFL field next season, and now he's going to be doing it for the Jaguars. So this is more for a dynasty conversation, not a redraft one, but a very nice ad for the Jags and for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, in 2023 and beyond, Ridley could be a real impact player in that offense, and we'll have all offseason to discuss it. I would be trying to acquire Ridley if you can. If his manager is interested in moving him in dynasty at the moment, I would try to go out and do that. He could be a top 24 fantasy receiver in that Jacksonville offense. Once he gets reinstated, he really could be that kind of player. And once again, I expect that to happen in the offseason. I think he is going to play next year. So if you can go out and get him, you try to do that now. We also had some running backs on the move on Tuesday. And the first one we're going to talk about here, Nyheim Hines going to the Bills, headed the other way. You got Zach Moss and a conditional 6th round pick. And for the Bills, they wanted to add a quality pass catching back for a while. They tried to get JD McKissick. They tried to get Chase Edmonds in the offseason. They ultimately drafted James Cook, and he's had his moments, and I think he's going to develop into a good player, but Hines is a more polished version of what Cook can give this offense right now. So you get Hines, he can give you that veteran presence on passing downs, and at the same time, he can help teach Cook. He could accelerate his development so that either late in the year or maybe next season, Cook can be that impact player for them. So a really good real life move. I love this for Buffalo. For fantasy, though, doesn't really help anybody. Devin Singletary, now he's less likely to get big target games, and we've seen that happen in some of the really tight contests that Buffalo's had against better opponents. They really lean on Singletary. Well, now Hines is going to eat into that, and Cook is less likely to have a breakout down the stretch if you have somebody like Hines there, unless we see injuries hit. So Singletary, he's a fringe low-end RB2 for fantasy, more like a high-end RB3, though. Hines, just a flex option, has more value in half PPR and especially PPR leagues. And then Cook is just back to being a stash. And I will also point out, this could slightly diminish Dawson Knox's fantasy value. He's already been pretty touchdown or bust so far. Hines could steal some of those targets because, like I said before, RBs, tight ends, they work in some similar areas in the offense. And historically, there's been some tie-in between the two and their target shares. So Knox, a little less exciting as a streamer play with Hines around. And then on the Colts side, Jonathan Taylor, he'll get a bump from this since we could see him handle the bulk of the targets now in Indy's backfield, since Hines isn't going to be around to vulture those anymore. But also with Sam Ellinger under center, there aren't as many backfield targets to go around. And then Zach Moss, he'll compete with Deion Jackson for that number two role there. But this is a Colts offense. They just fired their offensive coordinator. Things don't seem to be going well for them. So really hard to get too fired up about the complementary pieces that they have at the moment. One running back trade that could turn into something pretty significant for fantasy, Jeff Wilson going to the Dolphins, where he'll get to play under his former offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel, who's the head coach there now. The 49ers, they get a fifth round pick back, so that'll help ease some of the price that they paid to get Christian McCaffrey a couple weeks ago. But Wilson just slides right into a system that he knows very well, and behind a running back in Raheem Mostert, who, yes, he's managed to stay healthy this season, but who we know has a long history of durability issues. And I guess we might as well mention right now that the Dolphins made another big trade. They traded for stud pass rusher Bradley Chubb today. And in that deal, they sent a boatload of picks to Denver, a 2023 first, a 2024 fourth, and also running back Chase Edmonds. So now Edmonds isn't in the picture anymore for the Dolphins. So Jeff Wilson, he can be inserted as that number two back in Miami immediately and could be a league winning type player if Mostert gets hurt at any point. So Wilson, a really enticing ad if he's still out there in the leagues that you're in. And Mostert, he takes a bit of a hit here since Wilson is far more capable as a backup than Edmonds was proving to be this year. So Mostert still in that RB2 range, but he could give up a little more work to Wilson than he was giving up to Edmonds over the last month or so once Mostert started to pull away in the offense. And Wilson right there is one of the high upside backups to roster. I would put him right there with the Alexander Madisons of the world, those types. He should be in that conversation now. And then in San Francisco, where he left, this is a sign that Elijah Mitchell, he's going to be activated after the bye, which we expected. He should be ready to go in week 10. And now Mitchell becomes the one injury away guy in the 49ers backfield. So if Christian McCaffrey goes down, Mitchell would take over again. But also keep an eye on Ty Davis Price as a deeper ad. He's moving up the depth chart. They like him there. He moves up one spot with this trade. So you always got to be mindful of who that number three is in Kyle Shanahan's backfields, right? Not that we want to see injuries happen, but we've seen a lot of backs in this offense get hurt over the last few years. And for Chase Edmonds going to Denver, Nathaniel Hackett already said that Melvin Gordon, he's going to remain the starter, which I don't think is that surprising. I would almost expect Edmonds to just slot into a Mike Boone type role, so taking some touches away from Latavius Murray, but not a real threat for the lead back job. And the Broncos offense, they're not firing on all cylinders anyway, so Edmonds could be dropped in my opinion. He's just a depth guy in a pretty messy backfield. And that's all for the offensive trades that went down on Tuesday before the deadline. We also had the Broncos getting a pass rusher and Jake Martin from the Jets. The Steelers acquired corner William Jackson from Washington, a corner Rashad Fenton. He went to the Falcons. And then the Bills got a little safety depth with Dean Marlowe, Micah Hyde being out, Jordan Poyer banged up. So some much needed depth there for them. But 10 trades in total on Tuesday. Really fun to see the league working the phones like that. And those are my initial thoughts, at least on the key ones for fantasy. But that is all for today's show. If you're still trying to figure out waiver ads this week, you can go back, you can listen to Monday's episode, or you could go check out my full waiver wire column over at The Score. And because I waited to do this episode a little later today, the first edition of the Week 9 rankings, they're already up, so you can check those out, including how I ranked guys after the trades that went down. And then I'll have the updated trade value charts out on Wednesday, and I'll be back Wednesday with the Week 9 preview show as well. But until then, big thanks to all the NFL GMs who they just went for it today. A bunch of them just took big swings and went for it. Love the NFL trade deadline, but most of my life, it has been pretty boring. In the last few years, it started to ramp up. So let's keep that going, NFL GMs. Let's get nuts. Let's have 15, 20 trades next year. I will thank you in advance for that one. And as always, big thanks to everybody out there for listening. We'll see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said leave on time.